Thank you and good afternoon. Abraham Lincoln said, "And in the end, it's not the years in your life that count. It's the life in your years." We appreciate this opportunity of being with you today. It's good to be able to study from the Bible, and we hope that as we look into the Word of God, each of us can profit from that. In our study this week, we've been looking at the idea of walking according to the pattern. God has given unto us a pattern. And you remember when he gave a pattern for the tabernacle to Moses, this stern warning was given, "See that you do it according to the pattern that I gave unto you in the mountain." The building of the tabernacle was not a matter of guesswork on the part of Moses. He was not at liberty to make substitutions or changes where he decided to do so. He did according to the pattern. Well, doesn't that seem to be an example for you and I in regard to our relationship to God? Why would we think that God says to Moses, "You follow the pattern," but he says to us, "You do anything that you want to in religion"? The popular doctrine of being politically correct in our country today has led a number of people to have no conviction about anything. And when it comes to religion, that carries over. They just simply don't want to say anything is right or wrong, but rather that anything that a person does is all right and acceptable. Well, if that's the case, then Moses could have said, "Well, I'm not going to follow the pattern. I'll do what I want to do." Well, of course, such disobedience to God and to his will would have cost Moses. He'd had to pay the price of doing that. Likewise, when we are disobedient to the will of God, even though people are afraid to say, "You're doing the wrong thing," it is the wrong thing if we're not walking in God's ways, and therefore there's a penalty attached with that. We need to follow, then, the pattern God has given. When we consult the pattern, and that pattern is in the Bible, it's not a matter of guesswork. When we consult the pattern, we learn that there was a name that was prophesied of by Isaiah concerning a name given by God for those who were disciples of the Lord. That name is the name Christian, and it's the name that glorifies the Father in heaven. Well, that's according to the pattern. Let's look at another area, and that's in regard to the matter of our worship. There is a pattern given in regard to worship. While some people believe that you can do anything you want to in worship, and this will be pleasing to God, the Bible clearly teaches that's not the case. There are a number of times, particularly in the Old Testament, that point out to us that God rejected the worship of people about them because it didn't meet his approval. Do you remember in the book of Malachi, they had brought sacrifices and were offering their sacrifices and their worship to God. But God wasn't happy with it because they were not giving him the best. And so as a result of it, in essence, God just simply said to them, "Get away from me with these sacrifices. This is not acceptable. And I will not receive the sacrifices that you offer." In a politically correct way of thinking, we would have people saying, "Well, that's terrible to turn down something that a person's doing in religion." Yet that's exactly what God did. God said, "No, I won't accept what you're doing in religion. I turn down your offering. I turn down your sacrifices." Do you remember in Matthew chapter 15, 8 and 9, this observation? "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouths, honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Could we conclude then that worship, in order to please God, must be according to the will of God? They're worshiping, according to that passage, but their worship is not acceptable. It's in vain. Why is it in vain? Because it's not according to the Word of God. Well, let's look at a discussion that the Lord had with a woman at the well in the Samaritan woman. Do you remember the Lord stopped here? The woman was drawing water from the well, and the Lord discussed with her the subject of worship. As they discussed it, her thought was, worship to please God has to be done as my fathers do it. She was a Samaritan, and she was following the religion of her followers, or her fathers, rather. Well, as a result of it, she said to the master, our fathers worship in this mountain, but you say Jerusalem is where men must worship. In other words, the Jews go to Jerusalem, and we Samaritans say it has to be in this mountain. Now our question is, which is right? Which should I be doing? Following the will of my fathers, or following what you Jewish people say along these lines? Well, Jesus explained to her, the hour cometh when it, neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem shall men worship the Father. For God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I get from that passage, and I think you do as well, that the place is not the thing that he's saying is important. It's not whether it's in Jerusalem or whether it's in some other country or wherever it might be. That isn't the problem. Jesus said, the time is here when God wants men to worship him in spirit and in truth. With the right attitude, the right kind of worship pleases God if it meets those requirements. We, however, are not at liberty to just worship any way that we want to worship. All right, let's look now at what those terms might mean. When Jesus said worship must be in spirit, what's the pattern? The pattern says it must be in spirit, that meaning more than just lip service. You remember again the passage in Matthew 15? They draw nigh unto me with their mouths, honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. It's possible that a person might go through acts of worship, saying the right words, maybe even singing the right words, and those words not be acceptable to God. Because we can sometimes do things like that just simply by memory and without giving it any thought. We sing a song such as, How Great Thou Art. And sometimes we're more concerned about the song and the way that it sounds than we are what the song expresses. Our worship must be pleasing to God. That means we do the best we can, but we do it from the heart because we're thinking the right things. So when we offer our worship unto God and we sing songs of praise to God, it has to be from our inner man. When I say from the heart, I hope you understand that Christianity refers to the heart as being the intellect, the mind, the thinking of man, not his blood pump. I hear people frequently pounding on their chest saying, I have religion right here in my heart. Well, if you're pounding your chest, you're pounding the wrong place. God said very clearly that the religion that he's talking about is a religion having to do with the thinking, the intellect. When you have problems with your blood pump, that doesn't affect your religion. Your religion is not in your blood pump. Your religion is in your thinking, where your emotions and your mind is. So very clearly, we worship God because we draw near unto him, thinking about the things that we do. The Lord willing, tomorrow we'll look at the idea of in truth and explain what the Bible teaches that means in regard to our worship. Please be with us. We remind you that it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.